want to share something with you. It's really already been said. But I hope you will allow me to say just a little bit more. You have already heard that God is awesome. You have heard that tonight that He is faithful.
Yes.
He is much more faithful to us than we are to ourselves.
Yes.
He is much more faithful to us than we are to Him.
Yes.
You have heard that tonight that God is a healer, and He still is.
Yes.
You have heard that He is a right-on-time God, and He still is. You have heard that we can face dangers, troubles, and a lot of things. And yet, He's kept us here. He's an awesome God. The writer said awesome means inspiring awe.
Yes.
An overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, fear, etc. Mm-hmm. Produced by that which is grand, sublime, extremely powerful, or the like. When the writer said that which is grand, it means complete and comprehensive. When it said they're stately, majestic,
yes,
and dignified.
Amen.
Majestic means supreme greatness. Our God is awesome.
Amen.
I took a test a couple of years ago, and I passed the test, and I turned in my score, and the man said, "Well, that's awesome." And I thought, "What's so awesome about it?" My score was an 88. I was a little disappointed because I talked myself out of a couple of questions, so it should have been up in the 90s. But he said, "That's awesome." And I thought, that's not awesome. That's not complete. Now, if I'd have made a perfect score, he might have could have said, "That's awesome," because it would have then been complete. But we have a God who is perfect,
yes,
in every way.
Yes, that's right.
We have a God who is complete.
Yes.
Who is comprehensive. Who can take care of your problem, no matter what it is. Can take care of my problem, irregardless as to how complex it might be.
Yes.
Can deal with you and I, irregardless as to where we are in this life. If you are here tonight and you are bound in sin,
yes,
if you are bound by drugs, yes, if you're bound by alcohol, right, if you're bound by yourself, "I just got to have my way and can't nobody tell me what to do." Right. Whatever your case is, we have an awesome God who can deal with you and help you and deliver you and put you in a place where you can be what you ought to be as you walk through this life. If you're in a place where you're struggling to follow God, and it seems like the devil is giving you around, and it seems like you just can't get it going like it seemed like it ought to be, we serve an awesome God who can help you and grant you victory to where you can live this life and you can have the power sent down in your heart, in your soul, and you can sing like the songwriter said, "You are strong enough if you count it so, strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace and to overcome every foe you face." We can say that because He's awesome. When I think about it, you think about His name. They sung that song, and it says something about He's the I Am who cares. Moses, when he was sent by the Lord, he said, "Well, Lord, What am I going to tell them? He said, tell them I am sent you. Not I was, not I might be, not I'm thinking about it, or maybe I am. When we consider it, he said his name was Jehovah, the redemptive God. Makes no difference where you and I are, he can still redeem us. And it talks about him being the Heavenly Father. This awesome God is yet somebody that you and I can approach and say, Most Heavenly Father, please have mercy on me. This God is the Almighty God. If you got any doubt about what he can do, he said, I am the Almighty God. And he is the eternal God.
Yes,
let's turn to Exodus, the 15th chapter. And I want you to bear with me. I know it's late. Some of these scriptures I have are very lengthy. But it's hard to talk about God and say what can be said. So I need you to help me. Somebody else might find for me Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And I want verses 10 through 31. But let's start here with Moses. Exodus 15 and 1, and consider what's being said here. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he hath become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them that sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in heat, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till thy people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Amen. Moses had seen God work, and now it was time for him to sing. and all the children to sing with thee. And he expressed how God was a man of war and how he had delivered them. And he expressed it here in a way to let you and I know that this was not a hard thing for God to do.
Yes, that
he blowed with the nostrils,
yes.
Just blowed a little bit, and he parted the waters, and he dried the land. And when the children of Israel had come up to that point, they told Moses, "You brought us out here to die. We got this Red Sea in front of us, and we can't go across. We got Pharaoh coming behind us, and we can see the cloud of dust. What are we going to do? Well, where are we going to go? How are we going to get out of this?" And then Moses, not knowing what else to do, he turned to God, and God told him, "Tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." He blew in his nostrils, and he parted the waters, and the ground got dry. They didn't have to get their shoes muddy. No, they didn't have to step out in all of those kind of things. And as you look upon it, I'm sure they went across that sea, and they got to looking about. Can you imagine walking across on dry land, and you're walking right here, and you can poke your finger in the water, and you wonder what's holding that up, and you're poking it to see what's there, and it's still staying there, not running out and dripping on your arm. Oh, this God is an awesome God, and all the Lord in this path of life, he's still yet working in this day and time. He can still yet part the seas and deliver you and me when it seems like there's no place for us to go. Too many times we get caught up, "Lord, you brought me here, and I can't go forward, and I see him coming behind. What are you going to do?" And he's trying to tell us, "Stand still and watch me." Oh, as he went on there, Pharaoh had some ideas of his own. I done told him to get out of here. Told him I didn't want to see him no more. But now I'm going to go back. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get even. I'm going to destroy them. And Pharaoh went on after there, and he met his bitter end. You and I, as we go along in this pathway of life, it's for us to keep looking to that same faithful God. It's for us to keep calling upon his name and let him handle all the details on the things that he's got to deal with. Oh, I thought about it here. When you consider this awesome God, don't let anybody minimize him to you as you go along the way. When I consider that I was in college one time and I've taken a Western civilization history class, and the professor there was talking about all of those things, and somebody asked him about the children of Israel going across on dry land, and here's what he said. He said, "I've been over there to the Red Sea." He said, "I stood right where they are supposed to have gone across." And he said, "The water is only ankle deep." And he didn't believe that it was true. And I thought in myself, "Ooh-wee, God destroyed all them people in just a little bit of water." And then I thought, what does he know about how deep the Red Sea was way back at that time? What does he know about what took place when God said, "That's what you did"? Oh, you and I can go along the way. People can tell us, "No, it didn't go like that. No, it didn't work that way." And I thought about, too, when I was in the ninth grade, had another history teacher trying to get on this thing about evolution. "I don't know what you got going around here in the state of California, but back then in Kansas, they got this big controversy. Should we teach creationism while we teach evolution and all these kind of things? Some of them don't want to. Some of them do want to. And others want the whole view presented. And they're trying to say, oh, we don't need to present creationism." Oh, my teacher, she tried to tell us in that class that day that, oh, it was all done by the Big Bang Theory. Oh, it was done by this amoeba and all those kind of things. And I shook my head. "No, I can't go along with that." And she told me, "Well, isn't it beautiful to think about how these things all came about?" And she tried to say, God said, she tried to appease me. "Well, God made the amoeba, and he made all of these things developing." And I told her, "No, that ain't no beauty there to me." She said, "What is it then?" I said, "When he said, 'Let there be light,' and Lord," I said, "that's what I want to see. When he said, 'Let me put the earth
out there in his orbit, and he stayed there. When he hung the plans out there on that sky hook, and they're still there, I said, that's what looks beautiful to me. All you and I go along this pathway of life. Don't let anybody minimize this awesome God. Oh, there's been too much of that as they go along the way. And let me tell you, we have troubles enough trying to see him the way he is without everybody else telling us that he ain't so. Oh, he's still here in this day and time. He's still yet working. So as we look here, he said, these people would look upon it. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow would take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. The dukes of Eden shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold on them. These were some people over there in Canaan, was renowned for being mighty men of war. But don't you know, however they heard it, and it amazes me even yet, how in the world did those people find out that God took his people on the cross on dry land? How did they find out that he parted the waters? And when Pharaoh came down there thinking, I'm going right through here too, and he blew and the wheels come off the chariot and the thing got all confused and he covered them all up with the water and they couldn't see him no more. All as we go along the way, you consider it, I thought those people, when they went looking there in the promised land, they come back saying, we're as grasshoppers. And yet them people were scared to death of them. Oh, we know they're coming. What are we going to do? We've heard. And I thought about it and considered. I don't know how they found out, but somehow the word got around. You and I, as we go along in this pathway of life, if we'll stay with God, if we'll submit ourselves unto him, he begin to work in our behalf. There's going to be somebody that's going to hear about what's taking place. There's going to be somebody that'll come along the way and tell you, those people over there, God's doing something over there. Don't know what's going on over there, but things are shaking. Things are breaking. Oh, may the Lord help us as we go along this pathway of life. Moses asked the question, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Among all these idol gods these people have, who is like unto thee, O God? Oh, there's nobody that's like him. None that is like him. You and I need to keep that down in our heart. There is nobody like God. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, starting with verse 10.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand.
All right, with strong hand.
And his arm shall rule for him.
Yes.
Behold, his reward is with him.
It is with him and his work before him.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd.
Yes.
He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom.
All right.
And shall gently lead those that are with,
young.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand.
All right.
And meted out heaven, with a span.
Yes.
And comprehended the dust of the earth
in a measure.
And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance.
Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord?
Or being his counselor hath taught him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?
All right, let's stop right there. When we consider this, and we look upon it, he said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm is going to do the ruling for him. But he said there he would feed his flock like a shepherd. Now I thought about the songwriter who said, there is nothing, no nothing, that my God can't do. Said he's so big, he holds the world in the span of his hand. Yet so small, he can fit in the heart of a man. Said he's the mystery of mysteries, but oh so true. There is nothing, no nothing, that my God can't do. All as we look upon it, he's yet so powerful and he's so strong, but yet he can deal with you and I like a gentle shepherd and lead us along and not take us too fast. Lead us along in the paths of righteousness. Bless us and establish our feet and keep our going. And I thought about it one time when he was dealing with Satan about Job. And I considered that it was almost to me, if you will again, allow me to say, in my own feeble mind, thinking about it, I kind of looked at it and said, well, he said, have you considered my servant Job? In other words, hey devil, I know you've been walking around
lurking around one of my prized possessions. I take it that you want to test him out. Do you think you can do anything with him? And the devil said, oh, you got a hedge around it, and you've done this. And he said, all right, I'll meet you on your terms. You can take everything he has, but you can't take his life. And he went there, and he did all he could, and he walked away shaking his head, because this man didn't act like he thought he was going to act. And he went back again, and he said in so many words, I told you that he was a man of integrity. Trying to let you know that devil, because there's something down in him that'll keep him as he goes along the way. Well, the man will give up everything that he's got as long as he can have his own life. Well, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. He went back and did that, but he ended up walking away, shaking his head again. Can God trust you and I to be in the same place? And as I look upon it, I consider that God is so powerful that he can put just a little bit of himself down in Winko, lowly man, down in you, and down in me, and can put us to the test, and we can still overcome the devil. This God is an awesome God. All we look upon it, he said, who has measured the waters in the hollow of the hand? Who's meted out heaven with the span? Who can comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure? Put it like this. When you consider all of this dust and dirt you see out here in California, in Kansas, all across this entire world, and then you consider that, what is that all weigh? God can tell you, and he ain't got to use no big, huge computer to figure it all out. As we go along this pathway of life, he knows all about these things. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? Man tries to figure out everything that comes along, tries to delve into a lot of things, but there's some things man can't figure out in all his dealings. I remember one time we had a chemistry teacher, and he talked above most of the students' heads. He was more suited for the graduate students. And came time where he had to go somewhere on a seminar or something, and the dean of the chemistry college came there. He got to talking about oxygen, and there's one way that oxygen sits there as O2 instead of like some of the other molecules. And somebody asked him, well, Dr. Cathers, how is it that oxygen is like that when all these other chemicals are not that way? And he asked us all, do you want me to give you the technical explanation that even my graduate students can't understand, or do you want me to give you the simple one? And they said, well, we just chemistry 101. We're not graduate students. Give us the simple one. He said, I don't know. God just made it that way. How did you go along this pathway of life? Who has instructed God to do it like that? And because it's made that way, you and I can have water, we can have air, and we can have all the other things that we experience in this world today. Who has taught the Spirit of the Lord? Oh, nobody can say that they taught him. You know, Paul told him, I sat down at the feet of Gamaliel, but can't nobody make that kind of claim and say, God sat down at my feet and I taught him. All as we go along this pathway of life, he said, from whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of judgment? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? All as you go along, the songwriter there, Brother Phillips, said, he's a right on time God. And I thought about how they had another class in calculus, and the professor was trying to teach us this theorem, and he was showing us how this all worked out, and he could see that people wasn't getting a hold of it. So he told us that if you don't understand it, you better at least memorize it so you can write it down, because it's going to be on the test. And I thought, that's the easy way, just memorize it. But then I got to thinking, what if I get a mental block and I can't remember what that is? I said, there'll go 25 points. And when you ain't got but 4 questions on a test, 25 is a lot. So I finally decided, I don't understand it now, but I better get this figured out to where I can work it out from scratch if I have to. So I worked and worked. And he kept bringing it back to us several times in the class. And I finally got a hold of it to where I could figure it out. And I could just start from almost nothing and work my way through. But I thought, but I'm going to memorize it, because if I can just put it down without thinking, that'll give me, I'll get this one done in like 2 minutes, and I had the rest of the class to work on them other 3 problems. Well, you know how the human is. Here's the, then he hands out the test. I look and say, yeah, here's the question. I got 25 points, and then I got a mental block, and I couldn't figure out, couldn't remember what the first line was, nor the last. I was like, Lord, now I'm in real trouble. I can't even remember this, and this was going to be quick and easy. And I sat there for about 5 to 10 minutes, and I finally thought, I'm going to have to leave this one and go work on the others and come back. Well, I came back, and I thought, okay, I can't remember it. I'm just going to have to work this from scratch. What do I do now? Finally started coming to me, and I started writing it down. Writing it down, and I got through with it. Well, as you and I go along the way, we consider that if I had just tried to do it by memory, I would not have had any understanding. And when I had that mental block, if all I'd have done was try to memorize it, I'd have been sunk. But understanding helped me to get it down and then work it on through. You see, he's a right-on-time God. He said, who hath taught him understanding? He knows when to step in. He knows when to bring things about. You and I sometimes feel like, Lord, you done waited too long, and he walked on through, and as it was said before, he's got the keys. He comes in and unlocks a door here, closes another one there, and the next thing you know, you and I are on through the victory. That's the kind of God we serve. Read on.
Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small as the dust of the balance.
Yes.
Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing.
Yes.
And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering.
That's so.
All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will he liken God? Or
all
what
right.
likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melted the
graven image,
and the goldsmith
spreading it over with
gold, and cast his
silver
chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth
a tree
that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved.
Have ye not known?
Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth?
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth,
and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out
as a tent to dwell in,
that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown,
yes.
Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Me, or
shall I be equal,
saith
the Holy One.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things,
yes.
that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them
all by name, by the greatness of his might.
For that he is strong in power,
not one faileth.
Why sayest thou, O Jacob,
all right.
and speakest, O Israel?
My way is hid from the Lord,
and my judgment is passed over from my God.
Hast thou not known?
Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth,
fainteth not,
neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary,
and the young men
shall
utterly
fall.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
He asked the question, have ye not known?
Yes.
Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? This creation was put here to help establish to you and I that there is a God and that he is alive and well. And irregardless as to what they might want to tell you about evolution, and irregardless as to how they want to say we got all this kind of evidence stacked up, the key word there is that it is still a theory. It's the best thing that man can manufacture. But he said, have you not known? Have you not considered? Can't you look at the foundations of this world and see? see that I am the one who has done all of this. He sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, all as we look upon him, stretching out the heavens as a curtain, as if he'd taken a scroll and just rolled it out and put it right there. This God is yet here to help you and I as we go along in this pathway of life. There's too many times when people get caught up in somebody's credentials and they want to know, well, who is he and where has he been schooled at and how many PhDs has he got behind his name? And if he's got a few of them, they'll almost swallow whatever they say, irregardless as to how silly it might sound. But this God has all the credentials. He showed us here. I made man. I created this world. I rule and I set things up and I take them down. I'm the one that you need to look to. Oh, he brings it out here. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. He says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. You and I can go along in this pathway of life and we can be bound up by some things, but we need to look and lift up our eyes and see Jesus. We need to look and lift up our eyes and see that awesome God and recognize that he's the one who can help me as I go along this way. Oh, he pointed out to him, he's done all of these things by his might and by his power. So why should anybody say, my ways are hid from the Lord? What kind of sense does it make for me to do something and think nobody knows anything about it, when this Almighty God has created and developed all of these things and is still yet watching down over me? Oh, he said here, again he asked him, have you not known? Has thou not heard? The everlasting God. If they had any doubt, he now tells them, I'm the everlasting God. I'm the creator. I'm the almighty. And I'm the one who has set this up. And I don't faint. And I don't get weary. All as we go along this pathway of life, we have somebody who we can always lean upon. There is no searching of his understanding. But not only that, as the sister told us, he not only got the keys, but he gives them to us. Whatever you find yourself bound in tonight, God has power that he can give to you. You and I can't do it in and of ourselves, but God has power, and he's willing to give it to us that we might have victory as we go along this pathway of life. And all he pointed out here, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. All you know, young men think they got a lot of strength, can do a lot of things, think they got a lot of endurance. But oh, I'll tell you one time, we had an old uncle, Uncle Ben. He was Brother Ulysses' brother. He had a farm there in Sebring, Kansas. Me and my dad went out there, and he was out there in the heat of the day and working on his farm there. My dad told him, you're getting up in age, don't you think? You need to take a break. He said, well, let me do this little bit. And my dad got to helping him, and so I figured, I guess I better help too. And the old man kept on working, and he kept working, and he kept working. Finally, I figured as long as he's been out here, he's going to quit any minute now. He's going to have to go sit down up under the shade tree. But Uncle Ben kept on working, and I was getting tired. I thought I was in pretty good shape, could do a lot of running, but he kept working, and we stayed out there for hours. Still going. I was too humble to ask Dad, when is he going to quit? I just figured if they kept working, I followed example and I keep working too. You know, you and I can be in our youth and feel like I got a lot of strength, but there'll come that time where we'll run out, even as he said right here. But we can look here, and he said there that the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. All they're going to mount up with wings as eagles. I've watched them fly sometimes. Wish I could fly with them. You watch them so graceful, so strong, just soaring up there. They say they can fly right in the midst of the storm. Go right on up. And here he's letting us know that he has power for you and I, that he can help us to mount up with wings as eagles in the midst of all the storms that we meet along the way. He can
can yet give us power that we can go on. Oh, I remember one time one sister asked her how she was doing. Oh, I just barely making it. But all I should have told at that time, I just told her, you just keep on going. If you barely made it, you just keep barely making it until you get through. But yet there's something else even better than that. If she would get her eyes on the Lord and wait upon Him, He would give us some strength to mount up as wings as eagles. She can run and not be weary. She can walk and not be faint. All we look upon Him, there is none like Him. And when we consider that, who hath taught Him? Oh, nobody can make that claim. I even thought too the other day, thinking about the crucifixion, how the Lord brought that all the past. I haven't heard anybody say that they could have done it in a better way. Maybe somebody's out there that thinks they could have. But I've looked upon that and I've considered what all the devil must have tried to do to get that to not take place in the way that it had been prophesied. And yet consider there that God in all His majesty, in all His wisdom, in all His understanding, could let the devil do whatever he wants, could let man do whatever he so desires, and still work out His will and His purpose, and still bring it in right on time. You and I might have the strength to where we could overcome somebody. We might wrestle with them. We might tug with them. And we might feel like, I'm going to get this done in a certain amount of time, and it go a little longer than that. We might win it still yet, and we'll feel like, well, I didn't get it done as soon as I thought, but I still won. No, God didn't have to say that. When He said that this would come to pass, it came down right at the right time. I believe down to the very second when He wanted everything to happen, it fell into place and it happened because He's the awesome God, has all power in His hand, and there's not a thing that the devil can do about it. Oh, may the Lord help us to lift up our eyes and look upon Him. I want to turn to Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verses 18 through 23. Somebody might find Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Let's see what Moses requested here. Exodus 33 and 18.
He said, I beseech thee,
show me thy glory.
And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee.
Yes, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And who will be gracious to whom I will be gracious.
And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
Amen.
And He said, thou canst not see my face, but there shall no man see me and live.
Yes.
And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon
a rock.
And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by,
that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock,
and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
All right. Here Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I want to see your face.
Yes.
God let him know, you can't see my face and live. But I'm going to grant you a little taste, Moses. I'm going to proclaim my name. And I'm going to pass by. But he knew, you know how man is. Well, I'm not supposed to look, but if I could just peek a little. But he said, I'm going to put my hand up on you, and I'm going to pass by. I'm going to put you in the cliff of the rock. This awesome God, you find yourself, you hear people saying, well, I'm between the rock and the hard place. God can put a cleft in the rock. And in between that rock and the hard place, you and I can find a place to hide. You and I can find a place to rest. And God can put His hand over us. We don't need to be looking out to see what happened. All you know, I picture when He put His hand there and He passed by, Moses didn't have to look, but he could probably see out his peripheral vision all of that brightness and light there and know that this is something that I ain't ever seen before, even though He put His hand upon me where I couldn't see it all hardly.
you and I as we go along the way. This awesome God is still yet able to help us, and He will allow us to see some of His glory and how He works for us. But yet at the same time, He said, no man can see my face and live. Now in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, starting there with the first verse, down through verse 7. Somebody read, please.
In the year that King Uzziah died,
yes.
I saw also the Lord.
High and lifted up, and His train filled the temple.
Yes.
Seraphim,
amen.
Six wings. With twain He covered His face. He covered, and with twain He did fly. And said, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of His glory. Who that the voice of Him, the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I,
woe is me,
for I am undone,
because
I am a man of unclean lips,
and I dwell
in the midst of a people of unclean lips,
for mine eyes have seen
the
Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew unto me, having a
live coal in his hand,
which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar.
And he laid it
upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips,
and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You and I, this scripture is still true today.
Yes.
Now, we've been encouraged to see Jesus.
Yes.
But you can't see Jesus and live. We say we see Him, but you can't see Him and still live. I thought about here, this prophet, he said, I saw Him in the reign of King Uzziah sitting on a throne high and lifted up. He saw Him in a way that he had not seen Him before. And he saw that as he sat there above there stood the seraphims, flaming angels with six wings, two that covered their face, two that covered their feet, or the bottom portion of their body, with two they did fly. Why did they cover them themselves in that way? It was because of God's supreme, majestic greatness. They could not stand themselves to be in the glory of God, and in their humility covered themselves up and acknowledged Him as the awesome God. You and I, when we get our sights fixed on Him, will be just as these angels were when they cried, holy, holy, holy. It seemed to me that was all they could say about it, is that God is just pure and He's holy. There's nothing else that you can use to describe Him. Oh, it said, the earth is full of His glory. And it said, the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Isaiah, when he saw this, he came to a conclusion. Woe is me. I am undone. I am unclean. I'm in the midst of an unclean people. The sister encouraged us, get our eyes on Jesus. I was out the other day when we was trying to get ready to come here. Got a little garden plot at one of the plants, trying to get the weeds pulled so they wouldn't be there when I got back. But I got to thinking about God, and I got to thinking about seeing Him, and I began to pray, and I finally, as I thought about His greatness, as I began to see more and more, I began to do just like this man said, Lord, forgive me for not seeing You like I needed to. And as I see now, Lord, I have to ask You, forgive me, Lord. Lord, forgive me for having those places. The sister talked about. And then I had to say, Lord, help me to be willing to pay the price. You can't see Him and not die. Oh, if you get a hold of Jesus as you go along the pathway of life, you can be in a place where I'm going to hold on to this, and I'm going to hold on to that. They said I have to lay it down, but I don't have to. But I'll guarantee you this, if you see Christ, you'll lay a whole lot of things down. All the brother talked about that Nazarite vow. If you see Jesus, there'll be a whole lot of Nazarites come out of that seeing Him as they go along this pathway of life. You can't see Him and not me. All as we go along this way, we see some things, we get a hold of God, we're going to die. There's no ifs and ands about it.
That's the result of seeing him. We'll die. As you go along the way, as I mentioned, whatever you're bound up in, if you see Jesus, you will die. And you know something? You, as some people say, well, you just kicking a dead horse, kind of like leave it alone, and it's all been done with. But you know that one thing about it, when you get dead to something, it don't have any effect on you anymore. When you get dead, it can't hurt you no more. When you get dead, it can't pull you back into sin no more. When you get dead, it won't have any effect upon you anymore. You and I, as the brother said there in the meeting of that monarch, we need to have some more funerals. We need some dead people as we go along this pathway of life. Too many people got their feelings out, even though they profess to be saved. Little something come along, and they all heard about it. Oh, you can find some. There's one I've come in contact with, and it seems like as time has gone on, down through the years, been saved, it seems, for a long, long time. But yet it seems like you can say something, and all of a sudden, they're hurt. You don't even know what you said for them to be hurt over. Somebody can say something else, and they're hurt over that. Somebody can do something a certain way, and they're hurt over that. Made me finally conclude there's a spirit of hurt out there, but we have an awesome God. And if you look on Him, you're going to die, and the hurt won't be there anymore. Oh, as we go along the way, there's too many people holding on in jealousy, in strife. This is my position, and I got to have it. No, you might have just missed your time, but if you see Jesus, you're going to die, and those things won't matter anymore. You and I need to see God high and lift it up and get a hold of Him. All we see here, those people, those seraphims, flaming angels, all they could say was, holy, holy, holy. Not thought about it. It said there that after they begin to say one to another, the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, the house is filled with smoke. Never thought what it would be like if we could get a view of that awesome God and get in a place where we can truly cry, holy, holy, holy. Do you think the doors of this building might shake a little bit? I think they would. May the Lord help us as we go along the way. This God is able to deliver you and I and provide us that power that we desire to have. Isaiah the 59th chapter, verses 15 through 21. Says here, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Talking about Christ. God can see, man is fallen. No one there to intercede and plead the cause of mercy. No one to really stand for that which was right. And so he said here, truth faileth, and those that would depart from evil make themselves a prey, they become a target. He saw that there was no judgment and it displeased him. But he says here that he
used his own oar and brought salvation unto him. God, knowing that we needed something, although we're not worthy, reached out with his arm and brought salvation unto him. And then, not only that, as the writer says, he was so sure of it that he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Does that sound familiar to you? Said he put on salvation for a helmet. I thought about that time when David went out and he was going to meet Goliath. And Saul said, word said, bring him to me. And he looked upon him and said, you're just a ruddy youth. You're just a young strapping. And how are you going to compete with this big giant? And he told him how he was going to go and compete. But he said here, take my shield. Take my sword. Take my armor. And I don't know, again, you have to allow me to use my feeble mind. But I see this skinny young boy, and they got all this armor hanging off of him, and he can't hardly move, much less go out there and swing a sword. And he finally told him, I have not proved this. I can't go with all of this on me. And he went out there with that which had been proved, got him 5 stones out of the brook or wherever he reached down, put them in his bag, went there with his slingshot, and when that old giant said, you mean they're going to send this little skinny, no-cow, small runt to fight with me? I'll slay you and feed you to the birds. He said, you can defy the Lord, and you can come with your sword, but I come in the name of the Lord. I come in this awesome God, and I've come to defeat you. And he did. As we go along this pathway of life, God has provided something that has been proved out for you and I. A birthplace of righteousness, a helmet of salvation. He's already used it and shown that it will work. And if God can trust in it, why can't we? May the Lord help us as we go along the way. Here we find that he provided that, that he might deliver man. And then he went on further. He's going to recompense everyone according to their deeds. But it said here, when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. I used to wonder what kind of standard was that he was going to lift up. But when you consider that he was talking about Christ, Christ is the standard for you and I. When the enemy came in the earlier parts of that chapter and in other places, it showed how exceeding sinful that sin was, even back in the Old Testament time. But then he was establishing how his grace was going to abound and overcome all of those things. And as we go along in this pathway of life, even when we are saved and the enemy tries to come in upon us like a flood, what kind of standard gets lifted up by the Spirit of the Lord? You heard the songwriter when he said, what would Jesus do? You have the standard. Sometimes we may not know all that's said in God's Word, but we can ask ourselves the question in the midst of this situation, what would Jesus do? And that gives us some guidelines as to what we need to do to get safely through and still please the Lord. Now, as we look upon it, said the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And he has come. And he's come to redeem you and me. Whatever we find ourselves in, he's able to bless. And he said here, I'll put my spirit that is upon thee, my words which I put in thy mouth. Christ came and he gave us the words of God. And he said, it will not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor thy seed's seed. And I see that applying to you and me. Christ gave this gospel unto his disciples, to the apostles, and they were his seed, and they have gone out. And the Lord has blessed the word to where it extends down to you and me today. And if we stay with God, it'll still stay in our mouth. It'll yet be down in our heart. And that awesome God will still be working in your life and mine. Amen. May the Lord help us as we go along the way. Let's turn finally to Luke, the 19th chapter. I want to look at verses 37. All right. Whole multitude. rejoice and praise God. Yes. They say it's him. Blessed be the King. Name of the Lord. Some of the Pharisees, Master, rebuke thy disciples. These should hold their peace. All right. God is going to be praised. The question is, how will he be praised in your life and mine? Will he be praised by us living the way he would have us to live? Will he be praised by us being an example of what his power can do in the life of man? Will he be praised by us showing that he can save to the uttermost? Oh, I think too. I play my little tape sometimes still. When the low sisters are saying, I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am. I've been washed in the blood. You and I have a duty. If you're not saved, you got a duty. If you are saved, you have a duty. That is to praise God. Not just with your lips. That's good. And we need that. We say sometimes, tell what he's done for you. Others may need it too. But we need something where even when you don't say nothing, somebody knows you got something. You know, when you can just be walking into the grocery store and somebody say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, I am. By the Lord's help, grace, and his mercy. When somebody gets in a trying place, you get into those kind of situations, you need the Lord to bless. I was in one time. It was under deadline to get some things done. High dollar piece of equipment. Took weeks to get it all hooked up. And then it came time, as we call it, for the smoke test. Let's turn the power on and see if it works. And when you turn the power on, it didn't work right. All the supervisors got all nervous and anxious. They'd been working on it an hour early, and I come in the gate, and as I came through the gate, I could hear them calling my name over the PA system, and I thought, Lord, what kind of day is this going to be? I haven't even got in the parking lot yet, and they're already hollering for me. I took my time walking up the steps, getting there, thinking, Lord, now you got to help me. I don't know what I'm getting ready to meet. I don't know what's going to take place. I know what is supposed to be taking place, and I hope that's not an indication that we got major problems. I come in the office, put my stuff down, and I walked in the control room, and first thing, this thing don't work. It came from the manufacturer wired wrong. This is wrong. That is wrong. And I said, wait a minute. Let's take a look. Is everybody getting all bent out of shape, getting all anxious, getting all nervous, and I have no idea what's wrong, and all I can do is start asking questions. What about this here? Did you check that? Yeah. What does that read? That reads such and such, so many books. What about this here? What about that there? What happens? Well, this much works okay until we do this. All right, take that back off. Now let's see what we got here. And after about an hour, we got the thing working. When I say we, I mean me and the electricians and all of us that was in on it. But now it's working. Everybody's all calmed down. But you see, in the midst of those kind of places, they need to see that somebody's got God. Everybody don't just fly off the handle and get all shook up and bent out of shape because things are not going right, it seems, and we're under all of this pressure.
Amen.
Can God be praised in your life and mine in that way? Can we rely upon someone who is so great? You know, whatever we encounter in life, wherever we are, he's able to help us.
I'm not talking about relying on that righteous indignation I hear people want to use sometimes when they just done got mad. I'm just saying that's just where we are. I'm talking right down where we live. My righteous indignation got stirred up and all. You just got mad. And you're trying to hide up under that so that you can still look saintly. And you're not fooling me nor the others that's looking on. See, let's just be where we are. And let's get away from the righteous indignation. Let's get away from, well, that's just the way I am. And let's see Jesus. And die. So that others can see us resurrected. By the awesome power of the Lord. You pray for me that I'll be faithful. And when I say all of that, I'm telling you, this is right where we live. I've been in them places too. And you have to get a hold of yourself. And I sometimes be talking to myself. Now, PJ, you got to get a hold of yourself right here before things get out of hand. You can see what's working here. It's time for you to start stomping on it now. Kick it down now. Don't let it get even close to where somebody's wondering what's going on. And you stay there in that place, and then they wonder, well, I thought you would have got mad. No. It's not where I want to be. I want that. I want His awesome power. Been reading, and I look at them Old Testament prophets, and I look at that, and I think, Lord, they could just command. It's almost like they didn't have to ask God, Lord, would you do this? And it was done. And I thought, can I live that close? Lord, help me. I ain't there, but that's where I'm headed. Now, I might get burned up getting there. And I tell my children, I'm going to take it as far as I can take it. I'm going to make it as hard as I can make it for you to match up. And then I'm going to tell you, you got to do better than I did. May the Lord help us as we go along the way. He's got that kind of power. And if we see, I promise you, we'll die. Pray for me.